from Texas, buddy, and we're damn sure proud of
it. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This segment of Pratt on Texas is sponsored by the Lubbock chapter of Safari Club International. You can learn all about them at lubbocksci.org, and you can join them for a chapter meeting, not the big banquet, just a chapter meeting, no charge to attend, coming up on the 15th of July. Would that be next? Yeah, it sure would be. Next Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. in Lubbock at Gilbert's Bar and Grill. Federal wildlife biologist Dwayne Lucia will discuss working with private landowners on enhancing wildlife on their lands in Texas. Also, be a good chance to become the new owner of a fine pistol or revolver as well, and that's a lot of fun. Safari Club, if you're in the Lubbock region, join them next Tuesday. My friends, we have upcoming in the show, top of the next hour, Jody Arrington, who used to be a senior advisor or an advisor to President George W. Bush, has been on the Texas Tech payroll for a good while as vice chancellor. He has thrown his hat in the ring, as we told you yesterday, for Senate District 28 in what will end up being a special election sometime this fall, probably coincidental with November election. We don't know that yet, but probably will, to replace Senator Robert Duncan. And so we'll visit with Arrington. Yesterday, we were able to tell you first that there's another candidate running for the Republican nomination to be put on the ballot to then replace State Representative Charles Perry in House District 83. House District 83 will be vacant because Charles Perry is also running for the Senate seat. Now, there's been no election called and stuff yet, so some of this stuff gets a little complicated. All you got to know is that there's going to be a vacancy there because he's running for Senate. You can't be on the ballot in two places, so he's got to give that seat up. And yesterday we told you that Sondra Ziegler jumped into the fold on that. Now, that one is not a public election. That'll be done by the precinct chairman, county chairman, the party apparatus from all the counties in House District 83. Those and all the political parties that nominate will be able to nominate someone for the ballot in November for House District 83. One of the other folks I mentioned that I already knew was running for that position is Dustin Burroughs, and Dustin joins us now. Dustin, this is an interesting it's an interesting thing altogether because it's not a vote that the public votes on. Maybe it's the best reminder of why you ought to be a precinct chairman, why you ought to take part, because sometimes you essentially end up selecting a state rep or senator or somebody else. But in the case of this, you're really lobbying those individuals. But for the broader audience, I would ask you, what is it that motivates you to run for the state house, and what things could someone expect out of you if you were their state rep?
Yeah, well, Robert, you and I've known you for a while. I'm a big fan of the show. Really appreciate you having me on. I'm going to ask to be considered. We're all assuming that Charles Perry will resign his spot on the ballot at some point in time, creating a vacancy for the November election. Like you said, I'll ask to be considered. It's something that I talked to my wife about, talked to my business partners about, and thought long and hard about, and feel like I could do some real good for the conservative, bring some conservative West Texas values to Austin. I mean, if you want to know about some things you can expect out of me, I'll be a staunch defender of property rights. I mean, that is the cornerstone of capitalism, and probably the one thing government needs to do the most, which is protect them. And what I mean by that is, you know, you start with the water issue, and if it is a property right, and the Constitution of Texas says it's a property right, and we have a Supreme Court case saying it is, we've got to have government protecting it, not threatening to take it away and make it some sort of communal property, which is essentially, as you and I know, a gateway into communism. You also see some fundamental economic principles that I'd like to apply to education. I believe that, you know, it's a parent's responsibility to educate their child, and they need to have a good state choice, but there needs to be other choices. And what I mean by that is we need to start looking at, starting with some of the major urban areas and looking at some sort of voucher system. We need to do some serious consideration of that.
Oh, by the way, they demonized the word voucher, so all the consultants tell you not to use it.
Okay, what should I use?
But, yeah, you know, choice. But choice. Here's the point. I mean, here's the point. Supposedly, voucher would kill school systems.
Oh,
excuse me, in a lot of counties, the county in which you live and in many other counties, the school districts engage in a voucher program already. They just don't have a voucher. Yeah. They have open enrollment where you can cross the district lines, go enroll somewhere else, and guess what happens? The average daily attendance money, the state funding, follows that student.
Yeah.
It just blows the hell out of this argument that somehow having this choice would kill the schools, because most of these do it now. The only ones that don't tend to be the ones that have grown so fast they don't have room in their facilities. Other than that, almost all of them engage in it.
Well, and in the long run, we know that that'll actually help teachers get paid more. The good teachers will be recruited to the better schools, and we're going to be teaching a lot of different ways. We have the best post-high school education system in the entire world. The nation comes to us to get educated, and the reason is because we have competition in that marketplace.
And we have private schools, you know, whether it's Baylor, Wayland Baptist University, Abilene Christian University,
Junior College,
McMurray, Midwestern State, a huge amount of junior colleges, all the various options that are out there, and yet it works very, very well, and nobody says, well, we need to shut down Baylor and TCU and SMU because, you know, they're going to kill that public university system out there of the Texas State system or Texas Tech or UT or A&M systems, and yet when it comes to lower-level schools, everybody says, well, damn it, we don't like anything there. Doesn't matter what year it is on the calendar, we're all mad about everything there, but oh my gosh, let's not actually reform it.
Well, Robert, I couldn't agree with you more. Let me tell you, the one other issue you can count on me for is respect of the rule of law. And let me tell you what I mean by that. You know, there are way too many laws that we continue to put on the books, and basically it's oversaturation. You shouldn't have to go hire a lawyer like me to go figure out what the law is. It needs to be plain, plainly written, so everybody can do it, so everyone can be a law-abiding citizen. I think we ought to measure, you know, our legislators' success on the number of laws they can actually get repealed. We have some silly regulations on the book. I know you agree with me on that. And if we're going to be the conservative beacon to the rest of the states, you know, we need to start with actually doing that. And also, with respect to the rule of law, we need to respect the law that's on the books about immigration. I mean, this is the topic of the day. And we need to seize the moment and act strongly and boldly in the state of Texas. And we need, if the federal government won't come secure our borders, we in Texas need to do that. And we need to frame this debate about border security and enforcing the laws in the book and get rid of this sanctuary city stuff and not trying to attract more people over here and let the federal government try to stop us. And that's the debate we ought to be having and not trying to play on the sympathies, because we're all sympathetic when we see the pictures, but we're letting the mainstream media carry what the message is on this. And we need to do a better job of that, Robert.
Dustin Burroughs, we're visiting with, he's a candidate or going to be a candidate whenever there's a vacancy in House District 83. Let me ask you this. Democrat Party particularly, but everybody, but particularly Democrat and the Democrat teachers unions like TSTA and these groups, constantly yelling about more money and we need more resources. And yet, some of the biggest Democrat, urban Democrat strongholds in this state, whether it be up and down the Rio Grande from El Paso to Brownsville, or whether it be in Houston or Dallas County, these schools are the ones that end up flooded with not hundreds, not a few dozen, but thousands of illegal children, of illegal aliens and their children in those districts, and they're the ones that suffer for no resources, and yet everybody says, well, they don't want to connect the issue. There is a real issue there. The issue of public resources being paid for by taxpayers and whether we can absorb that many people into the system. Attorney General and gubernatorial candidate Greg Abbott said this afternoon that we could end up putting a bill upward of $50 million just dealing with the state portion of the cost of this this massive current, you know, rise and influx of illegal immigrants. But I think the spinoff cost, it must be much greater than that.
Yeah, you know, looking at education, Robert, we, from my understanding, is we are ranking last in a lot of the standards in the first world countries, but yet we're spending the most per capita per student.
Yeah, talking about the country as a whole, right?
Yeah, yeah. And economics would teach you we ought to be able to do less with more. It's economies of scale, mm-hmm. And I'm not saying go and cut, you know, education, because it's vital and important. Don't get me wrong, and there needs to be a solution offered by the state. But you know, we need to be trying new things. We are, you know, if we're going to test different theories in the states, Texas needs to lead the charge in testing these things and giving support for charter schools and trying some different mechanisms to give some diversity and competition within the system.
Mm-hmm. Any other, before we cut you loose, Dustin Burroughs, anything else you want to mention to folks that may be out there listening who maybe is, or one of those precinct chairmen, one of those people that are going to vote on who gets to be on the ballot in November for House District 83?
Well, you know, I've been in this community. I was born and raised here. I know a lot of people who are in the party. I know a lot of people outside the party. I think everybody I've spoken to knows I'm a loud, vocal advocate for conservatism. And what I mean by that is, you know, going back to the basic tenets of the free market and capitalism and traditional values. Mm-hmm. If I end up being the person that is selected for this, that is what I'm going to represent. I think that's West Texas. We want to be out here. We want to be left alone. We don't want to be overregulated. We want less laws, not more. And that's the type of message that I will take and represent West Texas with if I get the opportunity to when I go down to Austin.
Very good. Dustin Burroughs, ladies and gentlemen, not officially legally a candidate yet, but a candidate nonetheless for House District 83. When we get back, my friends, in just a moment here on Pratt on Texas, a little news on all that border hoopla and kerfuffle regarding the president and the governor. And we'll get to all of that in a moment.